You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Well, I'm so happy to be joined here this morning with my wife. She's going to be teaching with me today. Y'all give her a big hand. She's so incredible. She keeps me on the straight and narrow. Besides the Holy Spirit, then there's Pastor Corinne.
Yeah, we were about to do that too. Wait, I got to tell him how you broke it to me.
All right.
I'm in the middle of doing my normal work week, and he says, "So I think you should speak with me this week." And he just kind of dropped it like that. And y'all know how I am with this sort of thing. But it's truly a blessing to be here, and I'm excited for what we're about to share.
So today I want to look at the scripture Isaiah 6 and 8, if you'll go with me there. And we've been on this topic of having an outward focus, allowing God to send us, having a missional mindset, just pressing ourselves outside of the comfort zone, being the hands and feet of Jesus. So I want to talk to you today about the heart part of that, which is having a heart to be sent. Having a heart to be sent. And so let's look at this Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, he said he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" This was what he heard in the heavenlies. And his response was, "Here am I, send me."
I really like this scripture. And I think one of the reasons is because it exemplifies how God is. You know, there's some things that we know are instructions for us. But in this particular instance, he asked a question. It wasn't a demand. And I think it's because he wants to know that we have a heart to do what he's already asked us to do. So he says, "Whom shall I send?" And, you know, many of us sometimes run away from this, you know, and I think it's because a lot of us sometimes, because I struggled with this for a while, I would say, "Well, who am I? You know, why would you want to use me? Or what kind of impact could I make?" Or, you know, some of us maybe even question, you know, "My circle isn't that big," or "I'm not," you think maybe that you have to have a title in front of your name. I heard somebody once say, which I think this is so great. He said, "When you accept Christ into your life, you are now in ministry." So you don't have to have a title in front of your name to be able to do the things that God has told you he would do, right? Because he gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us. And the Bible also says that where we're weak, he is strong. And so in those areas, we can make up so many excuses and so many reasons and disqualify ourselves. But the truth is, he's asked us a question and we should know how to answer. We should confidently say, "Yes, you know, we'll go, send me. I don't have the full plan, but I know that you're going to guide me through it."
I love how God sometimes will ask you those probing questions. Like, it's a question, but it's really a lesson behind the question. And so the question is, what is the Lord saying in this season? I love to take a look at John 3:16, because I think there's a fresh revelation there for us in this season. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he sent his son." For God so loved the world that he sent his son. And today, God loves the world just as much, and he is sending his sons and daughters on an assignment. Amen. How many sons and daughters do we have here? And so God is, just as he sent Jesus, he's sending us on an assignment to represent him. And at some point in your walk with Christ, you're going to get sent. Amen. You know, there's two distinct times besides Matthew 28, which is the third time, the Great Commission. There's two other times that Jesus sent out his disciples two by two. And so even the number two is significant in the Bible. The numerology means a witness. So God sent them out in twos to be a witness. And so what I want to challenge you is this year, let God send you. You write that down. This year, I want God to really send me. I want for my my faith to really become visible and become something that's out there. Not something that's a secret, not something I'm hiding, but I'm allowing God in this season to really send me where he wants to send me, right? I'm not putting I'm not trying to put God in a box, say he has to do it this way or has to do it that way, but I'm ready and I'm willing that God is going to send me in this season. God is going to send me this year.
I think we also have to get beyond somebody else is going to take care of it. You know, I think when you think that way, you end up forfeiting a lot of it, or you just kind of keep waiting for somebody else to do it. And we were at a funeral yesterday, and I was sharing this. I was standing in the funeral home, and I saw this one of those like posters on the wall, and it looked a lot like one of those footprints type of poems, and it had to do with a starfish. This little boy was looking at the sea, and there was a starfish there, and then he realized there was a bunch of starfish, and so he threw one of the starfish into the water to save it. And this older man was there, and he said, "Well, look at all the miles of beach that we have here. That one starfish isn't, you know, like you're doing this in vain because you're not going to make a big, you know, impact on it." This is me paraphrasing it, okay? So anyway, the little boy basically turned to him and said, I made the difference for that one starfish. And I think if we can quantify things and say, if I can make the difference in one person's life, like just make goals, you know? Sometimes when you think of something as a big, big number, it's hard for you to begin to attack it. But if you say, I'm going to get one person this year that I really feel that God has, or that God has directed you in, you know, part of our whole process of getting ready at the beginning of the year is to see what God's plan is for the rest of the year. And we've talked about not only this being our best year yet, but looking outward. How are we supposed to reach the world around us? It's not confined to just in here. It's for us to be messengers, for us to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Well, those two concepts are connected. Us having the best year yet is connected to us doing the work. It's what we said last week. It's Matthew 6:33. It's when we seek first the kingdom of God and doing things God's way, then he adds everything to us. So the adding everything to us is our best year yet. But our best year yet comes about by allowing ourselves to be sent. So such an incredible thought, what you just said. What if everybody brought at least one person to Christ, you know, just even one person to Christ this year? What would that look like? You know, we could really put, you know, what a powerful footprint for the kingdom of God that we could have in this city. We could change forever the culture of this city by bringing one person to Christ. One person to Christ this year. What could happen? I think if we really step back and think about how we could change our city. And oftentimes we talk about throughout the year defeating self. One of the greatest ways to defeat self and defeat selfishness is to get outside of your comfort zone and allow yourself to be a witness. And it's uncomfortable to get outside of your regular routine. I've noticed this about myself. You know, it's difficult to get outside of what you're comfortable with, the thing that is familiar to you. But I really think when we think about the payoff that God has for us, the best year that God has for us that's waiting for us to just allow ourselves to be sent. And it's a good question to ask. Who are we going to share Jesus with this year? Think about it. Really, write it down in your notes. Write it down in your prayer journal while you're thinking, who is it that God would want me to share Christ with this year? Because your faith will eventually lead you to action. You know, faith is not inaction, right? You know, in the words of James, James said that faith without works is dead. So if your faith isn't active, then how do you really know that it's alive? Yeah. And so faith will eventually lead you to a course of action.
You know, you said about how it can break your routine or whatever. I think, you know, we live in a world of convenience and making things fit for us. And as a church, as a body, we have to break out of that, because obviously the word teaches about us being servants to others. And yes, we have to keep balance in our lives. And we know this because we're both very structured people in our own ways. But you have to break out of sometimes that structure. So there's, it's not always black and white, basically. Like, there's times, like, let me give you an example. This week, we were meeting with the ladies. Cher knows where I'm going with this. I was meeting with the core of the women's leadership and basically planning some things out for the new year. And we were at a restaurant. And little did we know, there was two women that were in the corner, and they were just watching and listening and watching and listening. So we had been there for maybe like an hour and a half already, and they were getting ready to leave. So they come over to the table and they ask us if we're, you know, what we're discussing, and they start guessing, and they, are you a women's group? Are you part of a church? Yes. So, you know, we ended up talking at the end of the whole thing. We ended up praying for them, and they had, you know, been burnt out with their church or whatever. But the point is, we took time instead of being like, you have just interrupted our meeting, you know, because some people can be like that. You're interrupting my space. You're interrupting what I'm doing, which is very important right now. We have to get to the point where we can look at the moment and people through the eyes of Christ and say, is this God? Are you wanting to speak through me? If we're constantly ready, there's always time for something to happen. And let me tell you something, you will be blessed through it. I know you will. And the people that you're ministering to will also be blessed. There's always an exchange that happens. When you take time to do something for God, he will in turn always bless you for it. So make sure you make time for those things. Make sure that you don't look at people as an inconvenience, because that's why we're here, to support each other, to love each other. And let me tell you something, hearing some of what the women had said about what they had gone through, it made me really appreciate what we have here, because, you know, not all churches are the same. And let me just say, you know, we have something special. So that's why it's important. Let's not be selfish with what we have, and let's share it with others.
Amen. When I was younger, I used to play a lot of football, not American football, but good football.
Soccer.
I'm just kidding. I know we have the Super Bowl coming up, but when we used to do a lot of scrimmaging when we practiced, and we did a lot of scrimmaging, and scrimmaging is essentially you're playing against your own team. You're playing with your team, right? But I think as Christians, a lot of times that's what we do. We're interacting with each other. We get into this habit. It's, you know, it's all fun and nobody really loses or wins. We're just, you know, hanging out, right? And I think as Christians, that's where we get sometimes. We're still in the practice room, or we're still on the sidelines. And, you know, if the enemy can do that to where we're giving each other high fives and we're excited and we're scrimmaging all the time instead of allowing ourselves to get into the game that God has going on. There's an end time game for the biggest stakes ever, and souls are at stake, and we're involved in that game whether we like it or not. And it's just, if we're going to choose to be sent or we're not going to choose to be sent. So I think it's very important to know we're in this battle. We're in this battle. We're in this ultimate high stakes battle. And, you know, the question is, will we be sent? I like to look at Isaiah's mentality here in chapter 6, if you'll go there with me, because it starts off that the king has died, and then Isaiah has this amazing vision of the Lord sitting on the throne. He's high, he's lifted up, and his robe is filling the temple. And then we have angels, we have seraphim that they're covering their face and their feet, and they're crying holy. And it's this whole powerful thing that he's seeing, this vision in heaven. But here's the first thing that he has, that he says, is, woe to me, I'm undone, I'm unclean, I've got unclean lips, I've got sin in my life. So right off top, Isaiah has excuses. Before he gets to anything else, or God, why am I here? Or God, what are you saying to me? Or what are you asking from me? He starts off with excuses. I've got unclean lips, I've got iniquity in my life and sin, and we have our own excuses. Just like Isaiah was a powerful prophet, but he had to get beyond his excuses. And you know, we have, you know, I'm just not comfortable with that, or that's someone else's job, or I'm not ready yet, or that's not my gift. How many have ever said that? Well, that's not my contribution, right? I'm better at this, or I'm better at that. Well, just because we have convincing excuses doesn't mean that God's expectation has changed. Doesn't mean that there's still that John 3:16 mindset that for God so loved the world that he sent his son. And he's sending sons, and he's sending daughters, he's sending you, and he's sending me into a world that somebody needs to hear truth. Somebody needs to, how many know that people need to hear truth these days? Amen? There's a lot of misinformation going on. There's a lot of narratives going on. But the truth that Jesus has, what the Bible says, sets people free. And so God has sent us into the world.
I think another good word to put in there, besides excuses, is insecurity. Because a lot of us sometimes will question something of leadership within ourselves. Like, I'm not outspoken enough, or maybe I don't have the right words to say it. I don't know if I'm bold enough to talk. But let me tell you something. You know, sometimes we overcomplicate things. It's just in the simple power of a relationship that is around. There is somebody, I can promise you, there's somebody in your life that you're in contact with that needs the love of Christ, that needs to be drawn into his presence, that needs to see that example through you. And it's just a matter of taking time. A lot of times we think it's just an overnight thing, and sometimes that's fine. You know, God works in many ways, but don't underestimate those moments of those people around you, that it's just that consistent relationship of showing them the love of Christ, of, you know, here and now saying a little something that piques their interest. Let the Holy Spirit use you. It doesn't have to look a specific way. You know, we put God in a box so many times, but I truly believe that when we open ourselves and allow the opportunity to happen, you know, it could be a neighbor. It could be somebody that you contact at work every day. You know, you never know who it is. Let the Holy Spirit lead and you'll see change happening.
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, at the beginning of the year to challenge ourselves in our faith, to do what we haven't done before, or to do more than we've done before, right? When you set goals in front of you, and some of the best goals we can find right in the scripture. Now, one question that Jesus asked, that's a deeply probing question that he asked in the form of a parable in Matthew 25:40. If you want to go there, you can. But it's an end of days parable, and Jesus is basically saying, when he comes back, he's going to ask this question. He's going to ask this question, where were you? Where were you? Look at somebody and say, where were you? So Jesus says at the end of days, basically, I'm going to separate the sheep and the goats, which basically means the people that have done what they were supposed to do and the people that did not do what they were supposed to do. And he's going to ask them both the same question. Where were you? Where were you? When I was hungry, where were you? When I was thirsty, where were you? When I was a stranger, when I was naked, when I was a prisoner, where were you? You know, and I think about to whom much has been given, much is required. And we have been given the incredible gift of eternal life, of salvation, of redemption, of God's precious promises. What is God's expectation of us this year? What is God's expectation of us? I believe that God wants to send us like never before. This year is going to be a sending year. God is going to send us into different circles. God is going to send us into some of the circles we've been in before. And he's going to challenge us to share some truth. He's going to challenge us to bring somebody in to his family. Let's bow our heads. I just want to pray for you. I want us to pray for you today, because I want this to be our best year yet, both personally and as a corporate body, as a church. I want this to be our best year yet. And I know that's going to be happen. That's going to happen by following the example that Jesus sets, that we see by allowing the Father to send him and allowing Jesus to send us. And is there somebody this year that doesn't know the Lord that I can pray for, that I can pray that God opens up the door for me to say the right things to? Is there somebody that maybe had a relationship with Christ and they maybe came disenchanted or but they came distant from God, and I can speak the word of truth into their life? The Bible says that he desires that all would repent and turn to him. And I believe God wants us to have that same desire to be sent.
Father God, we come before you today and we just thank you for this moment, Lord, that you've spoken to us, God, about where our hearts need to be towards your people. And Father, I just pray, Lord, over anybody who has any type of insecurity or excuses that have been built up, or maybe even resentment or bitterness about people in general that kind of stops them from pursuing forward. Right now, we uproot all those things. We bind them up and we cast them out. God, I thank you for releasing the confidence of Christ in this place. I thank you for releasing your love, your perfect love in our hearts, God. Let us have the mind of Christ. We take on the mind of Christ. Lord, renew our minds that we might see ourselves the way you see us, that we would see others the way that you see them. Lord, let your compassion, Jesus, let your compassion be within each and every one of us. In our hearts, God, for those that are hurting, for those that are broken, for those that have not seen the light, God, for those that may have hopelessness, God, for those that are not in your kingdom, God, I just pray right now, Father, that you would, like we said before, ignite the fire within us, that you would set a fire in this place, Lord, that as people return to their ways, to their different areas and arenas, God, that you would begin to just spread your fire throughout their areas, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who accepts and loves everyone. Father, you accept us when we come to you with a repentant heart. And so, Father, if we've made any excuses in the past, we repent. If we have stopped your spirit from flowing through us in any way because we were selfish with our thinking, whatever it might be, God, we repent. And we ask that you would flow freely through each and every one of us, God. I thank you, Lord, for a heart to serve and a heart to love like you love. Let your word be in our mouth each and every day. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.